I wonder what you think a parable is. So we've had a story. It's a very churchy word, a parable. Do you think of it as a bit like an Aesop's fable, a story with a moral? Or do you think of it, as I was told when I was growing up, that it was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning? So I'm here to put a different suggestion to you. Jesus used his parables to talk about his ministry, about what he was doing at the time. You see, he was talking at a time when the whole of his country were occupied by an enemy force, the Romans, and they were looking for people who were going to cause an uprising and be problems. And there were the Jewish leaders, and they were waiting for the Messiah, and they had a view what that was. And all of them wanted to pin Jesus down on who he was, who he was claiming to be, and what he was doing. And Jesus was brilliant. Can you imagine going to court and saying, this man has said these things? And they said, how do you know? And they said, well, he told us a story. There are not many courts that are going to convict on a story. So, if Jesus was telling a story to explain what he was up to, the Bible writers usually give us clues in the Bible narrative as to what the story was headed for. So this story we've heard today and the two stories we heard last week, they came from this narrative. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. And so Luke goes on to say, so Jesus told them a story. Last week we heard the story. It was about a shepherd who had lost a sheep. And he looked really hard and he found it. And then he told all his friends and they all rejoiced. And then he told another story, but this time it was about a woman who had lost a precious coin. She only had 10, and now she had lost one. She was down to 9. And she searched the house, and eventually she found it. And so she rang her friends, told her friends, didn't ring them because obviously there were no phones. She told her friends, I found it. Now, if you were at my house last week, you would have heard one of my offspring saying, big deal, right? But actually, the friends in the story, they didn't say big deal because they knew how valuable the coin was to her. Interestingly, Jesus has got lots of people around him. Some of them are poor and some of them are religious leaders. Those two stories, who would identify better with those two stories? And then he tells another story. Now, this story is different. In the first story, something got lost, and there was a lot of searching went on. In this new story, it's about people. And the younger son chose to leave. And the father didn't go searching for him. He waited. So, if this is talking about Jesus' ministry, in this last story, there are three people. Yes? The younger son, the father, the older son, or the older brother, I'll call him. Younger son, father, older brother. In that first bit I read to you, there were three groups of people. There were the tax collectors and sinners. There was Jesus. And there was the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. So if I put it to you that Jesus was explaining what was happening, can you work out who the three groups are? And what was Jesus talking about? He was talking about the value that he had. And actually, the value that the older brother, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, didn't have. So we could stop there and say, that's that. That was Jesus explaining what he was doing. But actually what Jesus often did with his teaching was he would set a scene and then let his hearers unpack those different characters that he'd talked about. So if we do that a little bit, we've got the younger son. What did he do? He decided that life at home, living that way, wasn't what he wanted. He knew how to live life. He knew what he wanted. He needed money and he wanted to have fun, and off he went. Okay? The thing I love about the Bible, that although it was written thousands of years ago, it's still relevant. Why? Because human beings haven't changed. Do you know anybody who thinks that if they have enough money, they'll be able to have the fun they want, and that will give them the fulfillment that they want, and that will be life? Because that's what the younger brother thought. And off he went, and he tried it. And he got to a point where actually it hadn't worked. He was in difficulty, and now he was hungry. Or I'll use the word empty. And then he thinks, do you know what? Life was actually better at Dad's. But I can't expect to go back and be a son because I've burnt that bridge. But do you know what? Being a hired servant back at Dad's is better than where I am now. Now, just have a little think. What does it mean to be a servant in that culture? We don't generally have servants in England. And so what, we might have to use our imagination a little bit. Well, from what I can work out, a servant does as he's told. He obeys the master. And actually, they had family servants, and then they had hired servants. And hired servants were even more performance-based acceptance. Can I tell you that? If you didn't work hard that day, you weren't invited back the next day. And the son thought he could come back and ask to be put in that position. He would do exactly what the father wanted, so much so, he would just completely do it, that he could guarantee his job the next day because he would still be there. But there's not an awful lot of job security in that. But that's what he was willing to come back for. And he'd gone out one way. He'd left the home, and it said he'd gone a long way to another country. So if you like, if we're talking about journey, he went that way. And there, when he felt empty and hungry and he realised what a mess he'd made, he was going to make the return journey. He'd done a complete U-turn. Now, in the Bible, they use that U-turn picture, and they give it a word, and it's called repentance. But it's helpful to have a picture for that word, because sometimes, what does that word mean? Complete U-turn, went out his own way, comes back prepared to do it the other way, to say, I'm sorry, I messed up, please give me a fresh start. That's what it means to repent. So that was him. What about the father? Well, the father lets him go. At the start, do you think the father, in all his wisdom, knew what the son was planning to do with his money? I think he probably did. Did he stop him? He didn't. Do you know why? Because he'd already left in his heart. The son didn't want to stay. He'd already left. He could have tried and physically restrained him, but he's already gone. And so the father lets him go. And he waits. And that's different from the other two stories. The other two stories, the shepherd and the woman, they went out searching, but he waits. Why? Because he believes in choice. The son had made the choice. He was not overruling that choice. He let him make the choice, but he waits. And actually, it says that when the son's on his way back, when he saw him and he was still a long way off, he ran to him. Somebody who's closer to that culture than I'm in said, dignified people do not run. So that was counterculture. And he saw him when he was a long way off. Well, generally that means you're looking. So the father was waiting and he was hopeful. And then, what joy, his son comes back and he doesn't want to hear his speech because he knows that the very fact that he's come back is what his heart has changed. And he welcomes him, he has compassion on him, he embraces him, he reinstates him as his son and he throws a party. And after all that waiting and all that hoping, he's got this wonderful joy. And then, isn't this like life? Then he's got to deal with the other boy. I have four boys. I have a daughter. Yes, you get one sorted. Now we're on the other one. And basically, the older brother, he says, what's that party? And he finds out that they're celebrating that the younger brother came back. And how does he respond? Well, he's angry. And I'll tell you something else. He's not just angry with the brother that's come back. He's angry with his dad as well. He doesn't think he should be treating him like that. Here's a thought for you. What do you think the older brother would have said if he had met the younger son first? Now, if you were in my youth group, we would be having a discussion about this. And if you're watching on catch up, stop the video and think about it. What do you think he would have said? Oh, look what the cat dragged in. What do you want? You made your choices. You're not welcome. And the irony is, he would probably have thought he was speaking for his father if he'd got there first. Didn't get there first, and now he's really angry with his dad because he hasn't said what the older brother thinks he should have said. Actually, this reminds me very quickly the story in the Old Testament, story of Jonah. You've probably heard the story of Jonah. You've probably read some books about it. Four chapters in Jonah. First one, God says, go to Nineveh, tell them to repent. Jonah runs away. Second one, Jonah is inside a great big fish, sea monster, has a rethink. Third one, Jonah goes to Nineveh, says what he's supposed to do, and the people of Nineveh repent. Okay, but there's a fourth chapter. And if you've only read the children's stories, you've missed out on the fourth chapter. So I would encourage you, go home, read Jonah. It's only four chapters, 20 minutes, you'll be through. Chapter 4, Jonah is not happy with God because God has not behaved how he thinks he should behave. He does not like God's character in chapter 4. And the older brother here does not like the father's character. He does not like how he's behaving. So, I wonder where you find yourself in our story today. Maybe you like the idea of being welcomed by the father and the party, but actually you don't think that you want to then live the father's way. Well, you're probably not ready to come home then, because coming home includes living the father's way from then on. Or maybe you know you've messed up or you are feeling empty and you want to come home. You want to come home. You want to be welcomed by the father and you want to know what that means to be reinstated and loved and being given purpose and to be able to follow what the father's way of doing things is from now on. But maybe you're scared that you're going to meet the older brother first. That when you try and come back, it will be the older brother that greets you. Or worse, you've tried and you did meet the older brother. And if that's happened to you, all I can say is I'm really sorry. Not what Jesus wanted. And I'll tell you how I know, because he told this story exactly to show the difference between the father and the older brother, between he himself, Jesus, and the Pharisees and the tax collector, Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the religious people. They thought they knew what God was like, and Jesus came and said, "You don't." Maybe, let's be honest, maybe a sneaking sympathy for this older brother. You know what? He kept the rules. He did as he was told. He'd not done anything really bad. He just wanted to party with his friends. Is that so bad? He was keeping the rules, but he'd missed the point. And the heart of the father was for the son. And the heart of the older brother wasn't. Do you know what? He just wasn't bothered about him anymore. He'd made his choice, he'd left, he's gone. I'm not concerned about you anymore. And that, you know, doesn't sound too bad to us. In Ezekiel, there's an accusation put against a group of people. And the accusation is that they're arrogant, they're overfed, and they're unconcerned, which doesn't sound horrendously bad. Do you know which people that was directed at? The people of Sodom. I don't know what crimes you thought Sodom was accused of, but in Ezekiel, they were being arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. And the older brother was unconcerned. I've got another two wonderings for you. So, are you wondering about whether you were in that place but not ready to come back? Are you wondering about whether you came back? Maybe you met the older brother. I can tell you, you can come back and meet the older brother. You can come back and meet the father. And right, we've been thinking about this in response to the Great Commission. When Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations." Well, can I tell you, the only way you can make disciples is if you first are a disciple. So that's another churchy word. What does disciple mean? In Jesus' time, they had rabbis, teachers, and they would gather around a group of people who they wanted to teach them how to be like themselves. They would live alongside them, they would learn from them, and the idea was that when the rabbi had trained them up, they would go out and be mini rabbis wherever they go. They would represent the teacher that they had, and they called them disciples. In this story, Jesus has made it clear that he's the Father. But actually, he then made it clear that he wanted his disciples to be like him. So I wonder, are you willing, as a disciple of Jesus, to be like the Father in this story? To have the value system that the Father had? To call precious what he calls precious? To call precious who he calls precious? There's one more wondering. I wonder if you're sitting there thinking, well, I've grown up in a church family. I've grown up in a family who loves Jesus. And I haven't left yet. I'm not the younger son who's messed up. I'm not the older son that's grumpy. And I'm not the father, am I? Well, I don't know. Because that question is for you. Do you value what the Father values? Because I can tell you, you don't have to leave. You don't have to be the younger son that goes off. You don't have to be the older son that's grumpy. You can learn from the Father firsthand and live that as well. So I shall leave you with those wonderings. Where are you in this story? But where would you like to be?